Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kivitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kivitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kivitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kivitko. Today we're going to be talking about the story that you've probably heard on 10TV and maybe even read in the Dispatch, where high contents of lead were discovered in a crown. Actually, I think it was a porcelain veneer that turns out was made in China by a lab that took the case from a dentist and then outsourced it to China. What we have on the line with us today is Lindsay Siebert from Channel 10. And Lindsay's the one that broke this story back on February 27th. And then there was a follow-up story. And actually, there have been a couple follow-up stories. And Lindsay, it's very, very good to have you on the show today.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I take it you're snowed in?
No, absolutely. Actually worked really late last night, all day yesterday, and into the night.
So. Oh, boy.
Got home probably about 1 a.m., but good day to be out there. Obviously, the reporting was needed. The town is buried, so.
Yeah, I really appreciate you getting up and being on the show with us, even though you had to work late last night.
Okay.
On my way in the snow, actually, it's looking a lot better out there. We're able to get, you know, back and forth where we need to be. Also, you know what, Lindsay, what you did by breaking this story, I think, is just great, and it must give you a good feeling to be able to do what you do. I'm curious, how did you come upon this story? This is not something I would have ever imagined could have been possible.
Yeah, neither would I, absolutely. I was just sitting in the newsroom one afternoon and got a phone call from this woman who said, I need to come in and talk to you about something, but I'm worried about doing it over the phone, so can I come in person? I said, sure. I usually come in at 3 o'clock, so she drove right over to the station, and we talked in the lobby for a while, and she told me her story that she's been a lab owner, and her father had taught her the trade, and it was just her and a few other employees, and recently that she had laid off some of her employees because she couldn't keep up with the competition and the fact that other labs in our area and around the country are outsourcing, and she felt that she was losing out for doing the work on her own, American-made work, to these people that were shipping things off to China and other countries, and she thought maybe she'd have to lay off the rest of her employees. And so she also handed me this letter from the National Association of Dental Laboratories, sort of the industry trade association. And back in September, they had sent this letter to the FDA, and apparently they'd been in conversation with the Food and Drug Administration for a number of years about the imports coming into the country, increasingly more dental devices coming into the country. And they were really worried because that number of devices was increasing. They were finding more and more labs were trying to find a lower cost, and they felt that the FDA wasn't doing their job in regulating this industry. So they had given 7 recommendations of how the FDA could do a better job tracking what was going on. And in that letter, they had outlined the concerns of lead being in parts of the metal or the glazes of these porcelain and metal crowns. And so it was all kind of outlined in this letter, and I just thought it was really interesting. But, of course, I didn't know anything about this industry, and most consumers don't know anything about dental labs. You just go to your dentist, and you think that your dentist makes all this in the back room. So from there, I just started with research. You know, I researched it for a few months and pitched it to my managers, and they kind of, you know, started looking into it. And finally, they said, go for it. And they said, if you're going to do this story, you're going to do it right, and you're actually going to order some crowns from China. And I thought, how in the heck am I going to get crowns from China?
Yeah, I wouldn't even know how to do that.
Yeah, I had no idea. And so I just kept calling around and was referred to this dentist who was in our initial story, Dr. Rummel. And he used to be the president of the Ohio Dental Association, and he's a leader in the dental community here.
And I know Dr. Rummel. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah. And so he's pretty rare, right, in the fact that he actually runs his own lab. Not all dentists run their own labs. Is that correct?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a question. Oh, yeah. The fact is all dentists don't, and we'll talk a little bit later about how it would be actually physically impossible and not feasible for every dentist to have their own lab. The economics just don't work.
But he was nice enough to. He's been worried about this himself for a number of years, knowing that his competitors do the same thing. And he was just as curious as we were. You know, what was in this? He said, "Sure, I'm on board." And what they did was, we took the same impression, and in all fairness, gave each lab the same prescription. Just an anonymous person. They had to get a molar or something, and sent each lab the same stuff. And at this point, we didn't know. You know, it was a small sample. We asked for 10 crowns from 5 labs, and with China, something happened to one of the labs, and something didn't work, so we ended up with 8 crowns, two each from 4 Chinese labs. And and we picked China just because of that time. That's where the most volume of crowns is coming into the United States from China. And so we thought, you know, 8 crowns, what would we really find in 8 crowns? Probably not a whole lot, but sure enough, one came up for lead, and... And we thought, well, we might have something here. If that's 1 of 8, you know, what is this a fluke, or you know, who wants to be the 1 of 8?
Yeah, I mean, in reading the National Association of Dental Laboratories letter that I was able to get from 10TV's website, it talks about how 7 million dental devices have been outsourced, and like you said, if one, you know, what would that be? 1/8 of 7 million? I can't do the math in my head, but that's a little bit scary.
Right, exactly, and that's just, you know, one test, and we are going to test more. We're planning on doing more testing, but more importantly, though, at least the story got the attention of a few different groups, the FDA. It took a long time to get a response from the FDA, but they've said sort of in a vague manner that they're going to develop a strategy to look into this and do some testing, perhaps. The ADA, American Dental Association, is really committed to testing. They said that they sort of have a scientific arm, and they said that they'd test both domestic and foreign crowns and dental devices.
So it sounds like they're going to set up a program to randomly test both U.S. and foreign-made, or just a small test just to see if we really have a problem?
You know, I don't know, and I think they were still developing their test. I think they're still trying to figure out what they're going to do, but they did commit to doing some testing, which is good because you have people, you know, experts in the dental community. And I know the lab that we worked with after our story, the it's an independent metal testing lab in Cleveland, and they said they've gotten requests, and they can't reveal from who, but at least we know there's more testing being done, and I think that will come out over time.
Now, last week I had the CEO of My Dental Lab on, and he was telling me that they, about once every 6 months, will send off a crown or two. They'll, you know, basically ruin it to have it tested just to make sure that the products that they're using are really what they thought were the products that they were using.
Right.
And so maybe off the air later I can get the name of a local lab that I can use to do the same thing myself to make me feel better. Because what you've just come about or discovered is something that, you know, sent shivers through my body because I thought that I wasn't in danger. I thought everything was fine. And like you say, the dentists send these to a lab, and we just assume that that lab is the lab that's making them.
Yeah, you just assume, and I think at the very base of this is trust, and the deception that's happening in the industry is, as a patient, you trust your dentist will put something safe in your mouth. You would hope the dentist would tell you if it's outsourced or not, but patients don't even know to ask that question. So I think at least we've opened up a can of worms here where patients can ask those questions. Now they know that they should ask those questions, and they have a right to know. I think they have the right to know where they're found. And at least I want to know where my stuff would be made. And frankly, the stuff that's in my mouth now, I don't know where it was made.
Right, right. And, it definitely did strike a nerve, no pun intended, nationally. And so by the time I called my lab, who I think I told you was in California, they had already heard or seen the story had already fielded a couple dozen questions from their dentist accounts.
Yeah.
I'm curious, is this the woman that wrote the letter, the one that you came and you met with, and her concerns were about laying people off, was there a case that caused her to be concerned specifically, and was it right here in Central Ohio, or how did that come about?
No, I'm not really sure. Business is really tight-knit, so that's why she wanted to meet in person, and she really did want to stay anonymous, and I haven't seen her since that day. But, I mean, we're not... pinpointing or releasing names, but we have independently confirmed that there are labs in our area and also in Ohio that do outsource. And also, really, the NADL says, to their knowledge, all 50 states, I mean, every state, it happens in every state. So I don't think there was any certain case, but just the climate of the industry as a whole.
Okay.
And you'll find a lot of lab owners worried for different reasons. Some feel that the dentists drive this problem, that the dentists are demanding lower costs, and so they have to give the dentist what they want, and the price that the dentist demands, they can only do that one way, through outsourcing. Other people blame the insurance industry, that the insurance industry isn't reimbursing the dentist enough, so in order to make a profit, then the dentist has to raise the cost. So you hear about a number of things. But also, here's another thing, that the lab industry is usually a family, that, you know, what they call a cottage industry.
Yes.
I think about 3.5 people on average in a lab. And it's hard, from what I hear, really long, hard work. I mean, these people work from sun up to sundown in 14, 16-hour days just trying to keep up with this work, and they're just overloaded.
Yeah, I think that the competition is really stiff in the dental laboratory industry. I know I receive marketing information from a couple, three labs a day from all over the country. I tell you, it used to be that you just would use your local lab, and then nationally, labs got the idea to, hey, with overnight shipping, I could have a client in, Arizona or Idaho or Florida. There's no reason why I'd have to just stay with clients here in central Ohio. We're going to be back after the break and talk a little more about this. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230. That's Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS. Your phone calls are welcome, 821-1230. That's 821-1230. Welcome back. This is Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Today, our guest on the show is Lindsay Sievert of Channel 10 here in Columbus. Lindsay broke a story a little over a week ago about finding lead in dental crowns, dental porcelain veneer, I think it was. And Lindsay's been nice enough to get up on this snowy day and be our guest on the show. And so what we're trying to do is figure out a little bit about what's going on here. How are these crowns winding up with lead in them? And Lindsay, you're saying that specifically that was an element that you knew or somebody knew to check for. I wonder what made them check for lead.
Just initially how the story came out, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I understand if you send it to a testing lab, they're going to try to analyze what they have, but did you guys specifically say, let's see if there's high lead content in these crowns, or were we just looking for anything out of the ordinary, maybe, I don't know, bacteria laden, or, I don't know, radioactivity? I mean, what
sure.
all would you have been looking for and why?
Sure. No, absolutely. Well, we set out, actually, to find lead because the letter that the NADL sent out outlined that concern. I mean, they had some quotes in there about material safety. I think because so many crowns are coming from China and there already was some risk outlined with Chinese products, with the, you know, lead in toys and jewelry, that sort of thing, you know, pet food and all that, because they knew so many products were coming from China, I think they were concerned. The concern was they had no way of knowing what materials were going into these products because of the way the whole system works. Although the FDA requires foreign labs to use FDA-approved materials, it seems there's no controls in place to enforce that or make sure that's actually happening. And because most of these products are made with metals, the worry was that, is there lead? Because there's lead in other products in that country. So from there, we were particularly interested in lead. We did test with one screening device that gave us a list of all the other metals, but we set out to just only look for lead, but since then the public has asked for, you know, what other metals are in there, and that might be something in future tests, because I understand there are some other metals out there that can be hazardous as well.
Yeah, I think the owner of my lab mentioned beryllium or something on last week's show. For the listeners that don't know, what Lindsay's testing discovered was that this one crown had 210 parts per million lead. And that although the current threshold for safe surface coatings is 600 parts per million, as determined by the Consumer Product Safety Commission, Congress is considering dropping that to 90 parts per million, and therefore Walmart and Toys R Us have already adopted that new standard. And so 90 parts per million is, you know, less than half of this 210 that this one crown had in it. And and so, I mean, I just, sometimes I wonder where we'd be without investigative reporters, because, I mean, you know, here we're just kind of working along every day thinking everything is fine. I hope the next thing we find out isn't that maybe eyeglasses cause cancer or something, but
right.
You know, it's just one of those things where you think everything's fine, and then something hits you a broadside that things aren't as great or as safe as you thought they were.
Yeah, and I think now is the point where, you know, we're trying to do some more digging and find out what does this 210 parts per million actually mean, because we've taken this question to everyone we can think of, and every group, the FDA, the ADA, dental materials researchers, and, you know, no one knows, because lead isn't supposed to be in dental crowns or in your mouth.
Exactly. It sounds like a study is going to have to be commenced that studies the, a level like this of lead in some kind of a dental restoration. And I don't know if they would use it on rats or what they would do it. Animal species, because I assume it would have to be something like that to really determine just where are we at this point, you know?
Right. And I mean, some researchers say, well, you know, any level of lead in your mouth, Who wants that? That has to be, seems hazardous. And other people say, well, you know, what if it's all sealed in there and it doesn't leach? How do you know how it leaches, and how does the saliva and all the acids in your mouth affect that, and how could lead get out? And that's the question. That's what no one knows. And so hopefully this story has just opened the industry up a little bit more, and people can start looking into this and maybe find some answers, because we wanted to find those answers too. Like I said, no, it's so new that no one knows.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I guess there's still that chance that they could determine that even with the lead in the porcelain, it's not accessible, doesn't come out of the porcelain in any way, and therefore isn't a concern, although right now we'd have to assume that it is. Lindsay, did you hear anything about the, did your research just delve into Cerex, C-E-R-E-C? It's a process by where dentists such as myself make crowns right at their office with a computer-assisted milling machine. Have you guys investigated that porcelain at all?
No, actually not. I am aware of the Cerex. I have a crown that was made in my dentist's office in front of me, just in that very way. But I'm not familiar. We were just looking at the ones that were, you know, crafted by hand. I'm not familiar of how that works. So that might be another question. Are you saying you received sort of a porcelain block?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have this block of porcelain. We buy them in different shades, and they come in different sizes, and once we have prepared your tooth, as you had done, we scan it with an infrared scanner, and it sends information to a computer where we design the restoration, and then it says, all right, use a block number 14 or number 12, and we put that in our milling machine, and as you know, 5 minutes later, approximately, there's this perfectly milled crown or onlay ready to go in your tooth. So my first thought was, I'm perfectly safe, because I'm making those in my office. And then I got to thinking, maybe not, because although I think I know where that block was made, I would have no way of knowing for certain that block's not tainted. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's a very good question. I think that's just another angle to look into, and I thank you for bringing that up. I mean, there's so much to it, because there is increasing technology, obviously, in your industry every day, and that would be something that, you know, I'd be willing to pose questions and look into as well. Fortunately, I don't have an answer for you, but, you know,
well, what have you been doing? You got home at 1 at night. You could have maybe stayed till 2 a.m. and gotten a little bit more done last night.
So I actually have been devoted to this story, for 6 months I've been researching it, but really many, many hours a week because of the outpouring, actually, after it aired. As you said, we've heard from people from all over the country, even the world. I've talked to Chinese lab owners and heard from people in Europe. And you know, I think we knew it was going to be a big story, but it's hard to know how far it would reach. And so we had so many questions, and that's right now we're trying to figure out how to branch out this investigation in so many ways. And I think the public is demanding more answers, which is good. I think there's a discussion and a conversation going on, a dialogue, which I think is great.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes us feel safe. That's what has actually, you know, attributed to the lifestyle here in the U.S. that we come to expect. We expect our government, our folks in charge are going to watch out for us. And sometimes, you know, even unbeknownst to them, we have these underlying problems. So bringing this to the forefront is great. When I first heard your story was about to run, obviously I gave you a call, and if you might remember the conversation, it was mostly me saying, I think I'm fine, I'm not outsourcing crowns, and then, of course, I make the crowns in the office. And then the more we talked about it, I visited my California lab 3 times just to make sure that everything is as they say it is. They advertise 100% USA made, which I've seen firsthand. But then I said to myself, okay, well, my lab is making everything in the U.S. I've seen it. Plus, I'm doing these CIRAC crowns, so I'm good. And then these other questions start to come up, which basically says maybe not so much. So, hey, I want to really thank you for getting up, being on the show with us today. I want to especially thank you for breaking the story. Because, you know, I've been a dentist for 28 years, and I want to do right by my patients. I know the dentists out there want to do the same. And it really isn't fair to these dental labs to have these outsourced crowns putting the mom-and-pop shops out of business. I think the playing field needs to be even. And I think we need to think about, do we really want to send jobs overseas, which is probably a whole other topic that we'll get into. But we're going to get into that after the break. Lindsay, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And, you know, maybe if this story continues, we can get you back on and give us an update at some point down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are going to be many updates. And really, I think this is only the beginning, so I'd be happy to let you know what we find out for sure. Thanks so much.
That would be wonderful. And don't forget, I want to get the name of that lab where I can send my own crowns, do my own little test. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS. That's Talk 1230 WYTS. Our phone number is 821-1230. That's 821-1230. And you can send us an email at dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com. Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. We'd like to thank Lindsay Siebert from Channel 10 for being our guest in the first half hour. Lindsay broke the story about lead content being discovered in some porcelain, in porcelain crowns and porcelain veneers. And it's a story that has kind of struck a national nerve, no pun intended, where it makes us all kind of wonder, you know, really, is the dental work that's in our mouth safe? And of course, now that the story is out, we can all ask questions to our dentist about does the dental work that they send off to the lab get outsourced? That would be a good question to ask. That would be number one. So basically, let's talk about what can the dental patient, the consumer, do. So start by asking your dentist, well, first of all, do they have a lab right on site? Keeping in mind that not very many dentists do, because there aren't enough, it takes several dentists to support one dental lab tech. So, you know, one dental lab tech per dentist, it just wouldn't work. And I think we determined that it would probably double the price of a crown. So you first ask that. The other thing that you can do is ask your dentist if, okay, you send your dental lab work out to a lab. Do you know for certain that that lab does or does not outsource their work? If the answer is yes, then you need to ask, where is it sent? And then what kind of controls do they have as far as what quality, what materials, what really happens to that case once it's gone, once it's left the U.S. shores, for example? Now, just the fact that your dentist sends his lab work to an outside lab should not be necessarily a concern. And of course, if you're a dentist listening, you know, I would advise that you visit your lab, that you check, make sure. I mean, I talked to the CEO of my lab last week on air here, and he said that of the local dentists within about a 25-mile radius of his business, not one of them had ever visited. And he said he has about 6,000 clients, and about once a month he'll have a visit by a dentist from out of state. And Now, I don't know if that I did that three different times. I don't know if that was if I'm counted in the in those visits of once a month, because that would be three of those months would have been me. But he said that he felt that, you know, people, dentists who use a local lab would just assume, kind of trust them and know that everything is fine and therefore not feel the need to visit. But so I guess what I'm saying is now we know that that's not necessarily something that we should feel comfortable with. So ask your dentist, do they make the crowns there? If they don't, have they checked out the lab? And if they haven't checked the lab, ask them to do so. And then the other thing is you know, ask them if they have that machine where crowns can be made in the office. I have since determined that these blocks, these CEREC blocks that we were referring to, that they, if you buy them, if your dentist is buying them from the supplier, the people who actually sold them the machine, then they can be assured that they were made out of FDA-approved products, and that they then will not be having to worry about there being a high lead content in the crowns and onlays that they're doing in the office. So that's a very good thing to know. There are basically knockoff blocks out there. So if you're a dentist and you're purchasing these blocks at a deep discount, you probably need to think about, you know, the source of that. How in the world could they be, you know, I don't know, 10% the cost of the ones that you were purchasing and still be made on U.S. shores? So then the other question that comes up, of course, in a way we've been talking about the dental work that we're going to be doing in the future as being a little bit safer, because we're going to know where these products came from. We're going to know that they were FDA approved. We're going to know that they were done in the U.S. or with strict oversight, if not. But what about the work that's already in our mouth? That's quite a quandary because, to my knowledge, there's really no way of testing something that's already in the mouth unless it's removed, taken out, taken to one of these testing labs, like the lab that Lindsay Sievert found. So I think what we need to do is stay tuned and, you know, I would say listen for more information coming from Lindsay and Channel 10, and of course the Dispatch has been printing, because it's so important, they've been printing Lindsay's stories. I'll be in touch with Lindsay to try to get updates as they arrive and as they arise. And we will just have to see how this all shakes out. But I guess what I'm saying is don't worry. I mean, call your dentist, certainly ask, but I wouldn't worry so much about the notion that, well, gee, maybe I better put off having any crown work done, any fillings done until then, because that would actually be detrimental to your overall dental health. The idea about any future work, keep in mind, future work, we now understand this, and we can control it. And like I said, your dentist is going to, if they don't already know, they can find out where their crowns are being made, and they can certainly assure you that they've taken these steps. Because ultimately, everything that I do for my patients has my name on it. And I personally will not hide behind the fact that, oh, that was done by my lab. Because that's not the way it goes. It's my name, my product, my dental care, my patients. So, and I know a lot of other dentists feel that way. So when we come back from the break, we're going to continue this conversation. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Our phone number, we welcome your comments, is 821-1230. That's 821-1230. And our email address is dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. So please feel free to give us a call, and we'll be back after the break.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling.
Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. This show is available on demand by podcast at www.talk1230WYTS. That's www.talk1230WYTS. All right, so today we've been talking about the story about lead being found in porcelain crowns. Dental work that dentists, what we do is we prepare a tooth, we take an impression, we send it off to a lab, and we get a crown back. And as it turns out, unbeknownst to us, some of this work that we were sending to dental labs was being sent then off to other countries to have the work done cheaper. And it also came about that there turns out there is no federal oversight of dental labs, and therefore neither the dentist nor the patient would ever know. But now we do, and so now we have to now we have to deal with it and try to do it in the best way that we can to make sure that we are all safe and that people can continue to have a comfort or a comfort zone about having their own dental care done. Now, why would a dentist or a dental lab, I guess, why would a dental lab send their work overseas to begin with? Well, as it turns out, it's the pressure on the cost, on the notion that, I guess, this one dental laboratory anonymously contacted Lindsay Sievert to say that, hey, I've had to lay people off and we may have to close because we can't compete with these labs that are outsourcing. And after a little bit of discussion and some research, Lindsay decided to go ahead and take on the story. And they discovered then that it was unfair competition, that these labs were sending their work off to be done in labs that don't have to answer to the U.S. Department of Food and Drug Administration, or they don't have to answer to any United States authority. And in fact, there were only three states that even required that the lab divulge that they had sent work offshore. Now, I think that, you know, living in this country as I do and have since I was about three, maybe two and a half to three. For those of you that don't know, I was born in Canada, and my parents moved here when I was about two and a half. And they moved here to have a better life than my parents felt they could have in Canada. And we don't really think of Canada as a foreign country, but along with that, or rather that better life, the way you accomplish that is to know that your government is looking out for you. And we as a society have decided, it seems, that we are willing to accept the cost of that. So if the cost of a crown made at a U.S. lab is more than the cost of one made in China, we are willing to accept that, meaning we're not going to complain about the price because we know that built into that price is all of the oversight that is placed then on the work that is done in the United States, whether it be automobiles, electronics, or dental work. Now, there was a story in the Dispatch about 5 weeks ago now, and I apologize that I do not have the author of that story, but it dealt with another side of that, which is patients, people who have decided that to save money, they would fly to other countries to receive their medical care. Thailand is one of the European nations, Mexico, Puerto Rico. And I have a personal experience with a few patients that I know who came to me after having done that. I'm going to relate a little bit of my experience. But before I do, and we might have to do that after the next break, I want you to think about that, because now everybody's up in arms about possibly finding lead in a dental crown, and how that potentially, the reason that came about is because people were outsourcing work, and they were therefore shipping jobs overseas. Well, if the patients are going overseas as well, it seems to me that there's even a greater danger for those people, because now everything that's being done for them, anywhere from the diagnosis to the medication to the sutures, is now being done by people and by companies or doctors or hospitals that have no United States oversight whatsoever. And I don't know personally if I would want to take that chance. Yeah, the cost is good, but there is that old adage, you get what you pay for. And although that's not always true, it certainly seems to be true more often than not, as far as I can tell. If you know of somebody that's done that, or you are one of the folks that has received medical or dental care overseas, we'd love to hear from you. But when we come back from the break, though, I'm going to relay a story or about a few stories of what I know personally, ones that I was involved in where people went overseas for their care. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS. That's Talk 1230 WYTS. Our phone number is 821-1230, 821-1230.
Keep smiling at trouble.
Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Today we've been talking about the story about lead having been found in porcelain crowns. We spoke with Lindsay Sievert, the 10TV news reporter that broke that story. And the conversation has kind of shifted from having crowns and things that were made overseas that may be potentially dangerous. We're going to find out for sure just the how that all shakes out in the next several weeks, we hope, or months. But it's kind of shifted to the notion that, people are shipping themselves overseas to receive medical and dental care. And how I have a personal knowledge of about three different episodes with that. So, you know, there are these economic pressures, and we come to this country, I did, to have a better life. And part of that is accepting the cost of the oversight. How oversight, federal regulation increases the cost of doing business in the United States over what it would cost to do the same procedure in other countries. So, you know, I had this patient who had come in for a consultation. You know, she wanted to have her teeth redone. I do lots of cosmetic work, makeovers and such. And so she came in for the consultation. We did the x-rays, we did the exam, and we came up with three options for her. And they all were more expensive than she felt she could afford. And in a lot of ways, I think just plain more expensive than she felt like she wanted to spend. Because let's face it, we all put a price tag on what we think we will spend for any particular thing. And so even with the lesser expensive option, she still felt that it was too expensive. She happened to be of some type of Spanish descent. I cannot remember exactly what. And she therefore knew of a program where she could have her dental work done. I believe hers was in Mexico. And the cost of the care, which included travel to Mexico, it included the dentist fee, and it included her stay, would be approximately a third the cost of having it done here at my office here in the U.S. Now, I discouraged her from doing this, and I actually encouraged her to ask better questions than she'd been asking, because I stayed in touch with her and helped her through the process, to be honest. Once she had made up her mind, I decided, well, I'm not just going to drop her. I'm going to try to help her obtain the absolute best care she can if this is what she's decided to do. And so I told her to ask certain questions, which she did, and some of the answers were not what she thought they were, so she misunderstood what she would really be getting. I said, make sure you know what you're going to get. You know, ask them this, ask them that. And she went ahead and had her work done there, and I got a frantic call from her I think it was from the airport on her way back, where she was in terrible pain. She couldn't wear, in her case it turned out that she had had all of the remaining teeth removed. Relatively young girl, but to save money that's what she opted to do. She had had all of the remaining teeth extracted and had dentures that just didn't fit. They didn't look right. They wouldn't stay in. She hurt so badly to begin with that even if it hadn't hurt to have them in, or if they had looked good, she probably would have left them out. So what we had to do for her was get her in, numb her up, remove some sharp spicules of bone that they had left. You know, when you take that many teeth out, there's all these sharp edges. And to be honest, I spend more time when I'm extracting teeth, making sure the bone is going to heal nice and smoothly, if at all possible. But anyway, we did that. We could not make the denture that she had just had made work. It was just so far off that it was never, ever going to be usable. And I wound up having to completely redo everything for her. And so the sad story is she wound up paying for her Mexican trip and the dental care that they provided for her. And then when she came back to me, remember that it started with a phone call from the airport on her way back, I wound up then having to do everything over again. We let the bone heal. We kind of nurtured it as it did. We then took a new set of impressions and sent those off to our lab. So, you know, I think people need to be very, very careful about how they go ahead and pursue their medical care, and we are going to do everything we can here at my office and here in the States to ensure that we provide the best care with the most federal oversight that we can and a price that people can afford. And we'll be following up with this story down the road. In the meantime, please be careful about shipping yourself overseas for that kind of care. And tune in again. Listen to the updates that we'll have on this topic and other topics. You're listening to Dr. Kvitko. This is Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS. And we'd like to thank you for listening in. Remember, our show is available by podcast at www.talk1230wyts.